Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Jim Massaro, a fitness expert, coach, and owner of Advanced Body Personal and Athletic Training Center. Also joining us is my brother, mental game coach, Dr. Patrick Cohn. Today we're going to talk about what happens when your athlete has an older sibling in school who's a better athlete, and how the younger athlete deals with pressure and expectations of coaches and parents.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Jim, and hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lee.
How are you today?
Good. Well, so, Jim, tell me a little bit about the scenario. What does it look like in this case?
Well, what I've experienced through my school, the school that I do strength training for, is a lot of the younger kids that, one, they're not as good, they try as hard as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches expect, because they actually just see the name lineage coming up, and they think,
right,
oh, we got another great athlete here, and they – a lot of the coaches plug them right in place. And from what I see, most of the kids who can't handle it either give up the sport, or they just, when they're on the sport, they're not even trying anymore. They lose all the joy for us. They realize they're not as good as their sister or their brother. And I've actually found a few of them has actually started to resent their older brother or older sister for being that good.
Huh, that's interesting. And they also give up, you're saying.
Yeah, because they, you know, it's not fun for them. Because they realize their limitations, they're good enough to just be the player they are, and they watch their older sibling win awards, do everything they had to do, and they can't live up to that. And it's like, and a lot of the coaches put pressure on them because they see the name. And we've had kids that have actually just said that, you know, enough, I don't want to play anymore, because I just want to play, I want to be me, and I'm not Joey or Mary, you know what I mean? And they actually just stop playing the sport.
Well, no. What's a good way to keep them in? Let's back up. What's the pressure that they're feeling? Let's break this down a little bit. And maybe, Patrick, you should chime in here about pressures and expectations. Patrick?
Patrick? Oh, did you want me to jump in?
Yeah. Just about, about pressures and expectations in this scenario.
Well, Jim, you know, we know that we define expectations a little bit differently out there, and I think by and large the general athletic population out there, parents, coaches, and players, look at expectations as confidence sometimes, that those two get grouped together. If I expect someone to do well, if I expect someone to win, then it should be, you know, a feeling of confidence, for example. And we try to separate those out and say, anytime a kid's feeling expectations, that automatically equals pressure for the kid, because now the maybe the younger sibling in this case has to feel like they have to live up to whatever those expectations are. And expectations are kind of, either hit them or you don't, right? You either match the expectations or you don't match the expectations. So if coaches and parents are setting the bar super high for the kid in terms of the expectations for the younger child, then in essence, aren't they setting that child up for failure?
Without a doubt. I agree 100% on that. Because when I always tell the other segment who isn't as good, just have fun. Play the game the way you want to play it, because it is a game. You know, I said, don't worry about you. Be happy with your older sibling has accomplished, and just work hard. Let's keep continuing to work hard and see what level we can get you to. But the main thing is, you're out here to have fun. You know, and I try and tell the parent that, too, because I'll meet with the parent sometimes if I'm training the athlete and explain that to them, too. You know, your son, this particular child you have, is going to have fun playing sports. And it's going to help them in future life, because they're playing on a team, to work in a team environment at work. But just, you know, you already got the star athlete. Let them just go out there and, you know, be a kid and enjoy the sport for what it's supposed to be.
And tell me a little bit about how parents respond when you say that.
You know, some of them understand it, and some of them just believe that, you know, their child's going to a D1 school or going to the pros, going to make a lot of money, and, you know, it's genetics, so if this one's good, she's not working, or he's not working hard enough to be as good as the other one, you know. A lot of them just got to realize that, you know, they're all not good or great athletes, and they just should be allowed to just go out and enjoy that experience in life, either in the high schools. That's why I mainly deal with the high school and college range, and just let them enjoy that experience, you know. And some of them just, you know, a lot of the parents, you know, obviously are still living, you know, their sports world through the child.
Do you think those are the parents that are the ones that are hardest to talk to about this issue, the ones who were athletes themselves?
I think the ones that were good athletes aren't the ones that were hard to talk to. It's the parents that were the borderline athletes that I have found that are the harder ones to talk to. Because now they think they're doing everything right to make their son or daughter that better athlete instead of just, you know, enjoying it. The ones that experienced great success realize what it took for them to get there and realize that they're like, there could be like a select few that made it that good, made it to that level, and they understand that. A lot of it is the young ones, or a lot of parents who don't play. I mean, you know, I mean, it's great that they're volunteering to help out in some of these things, but they never even played the sport before. And, you know, I mean, a lot of them see the dollar signs out there, and only a select few, you know, make those big dollars. And they got to just let the kids play.
Right. And Patrick, what are you seeing? I mean, this is something we talk about a lot, and it's certainly something that I've seen in my kids' sports careers as well.
I think you can see the opposite too, Jim. I don't know if you've seen that, but where there's going to be some sibling, you could say, friction, where the older child, maybe that's a year or two older, kind of went through a program and was maybe mildly successful, but then a younger one comes up that's been brought up under that umbrella, maybe at an earlier age, and now becomes more successful, a lot more successful than the older sibling. Do you see those scenarios happening as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely I've seen them happening. You know, but from my own experience with that, I've always noticed that I have a few kids I've trained like that. The older sibling has always been a little bit more supportive, you know, for some reason, because I guess they nurtured the other one coming up, and a lot of them played the same sport with them. And they help them get better.
Right.
I know exactly what you're saying. I haven't had that experience where the older one had any sort of jealousy towards the young one. In my experience, it's always been the other way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I'm, you know, 100% sure that is definitely going on out there too. Because I've always said, like, when I would get a younger one, he or she was going to be better than the older one. You could just tell by the foundation that was there, you know?
Well, and I think you learn as a parent, you know, from a sports parent perspective, you learn what helps the kids be successful. I think you could argue that bringing two kids up in the same sport, and then the younger kid would have the advantage of the parent being more knowledgeable about all aspects, about parenting, about training, about what it practice and really what it takes. You know, to be a serious competitor, if we can say that. So it's almost as if the parents have been educated, and then the younger child is around seeing what's happening with the older child and learns and benefits from that.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because that is true too. As you do see the parents becoming more, I don't know what the right terminology is, like athletically smarter.
Just more savvy about...
Yeah, they've seen the mistakes. They've been through the whole system, and they see exactly what's going on in that area, too.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, can we talk just a little bit about this another issue that you raised, and that's about when kids should play, when they're injured. This is something that I find really interesting, and I think there are a lot of mental game issues that are associated with it. In our own family, I just know that there's been tremendous pressure for the boys to play when they're hurt. And they always worry about letting the team down, and they worry about getting hurt some more, and they feel like they're in kind of a jam.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big problem, and we have that. I mean, I'm also a football coach and come from a football background, so you always play hurt. And, you know, and every kid's out there is doing the same thing. So you have that feeling where, you know, if you're not out there on a particular play or something, that you're going to let your team down. And a lot of kids, you know, have that pressure, and they're going to lie. You know, they're not going to tell the coach or the trainer how bad they really are. You know, they're going to hide the injury, or you know, at the end of the game, they feel okay, and they actually, no, they might have just, pulled a tweak or groin, but then they come back the next day to practice, and they could, you know, tear it in some way. And that's why we have that problem a lot with the kids. And, you know, and the kids, you know, can be pretty tough. If they see you sitting on the sideline, they're going to let you know what they think of you.
Patrick Cohen.
You know, I've seen that. Well, I've seen that. I mean, I saw once in one of our state championship games where a kid had a sprained ankle.
Hello?
And, you know, it wasn't that bad. I mean, he could have played. I mean, you know, that's me as a coach and an ex-football player. And he didn't want to go back in. And his best friend went up to him and told him, we're done. I will never speak to him. He didn't talk to him for months over that.
No, wait a minute. So his friend said, we're done because you didn't go back in with a sprained ankle?
Yeah. And I mean, he didn't use those words. I mean, it was a heated on the sideline. And he it was months before he spoke. You let us down in the biggest game of the year. You know?
Well, you know, I think that under these circumstances, it's really, and tell me what you think. It's really important for the parent to step in and say, you're not playing and I'm not going to let you. I remember having to do that a few times with my son, once specifically after he had a concussion. And it was, you know, really, really important that he not go back in there and get hurt again. And I, you know, I went to all the practices and I showed up at the games to make sure that he wasn't going to go back in. Now, what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, the parents, I mean, but I'm talking about a lot of this goes on during the game.
Oh, I know, during the game, too. Yeah, I've seen that.
The parents are in the stands, but there's nothing that can be done about it, you know, because the kids are going to be on top of them, you know. But I don't think, you know, I mean, any kid should have to play with any, I mean, without a doubt, I don't ever want to see a young kid get hurt on the field.
Right.
You know, because, and they shouldn't, but that is the pressure of the game, the nature of winning. I mean, sometimes, you know, the emphasis on winning is way too much, especially in the younger levels, like the midget and the little league level sometimes. That drives me nuts when I watch what goes on there, you know.
Well, are you, but I want to be clear about what you suggest. So you're saying during the game, and I have seen that too, and what is your solution? Do you think that the kids need to be trained to say no? Do you think that the parents need to understand that they have to jump in? And, you know, the kids don't like it when especially the older kids don't like it when the parents jump in and say, hey, you're not playing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's gotten better on the field because most schools I know have the athletic trainer on the sideline.
Uh-huh.
And most of the trainers now are making the decision.
But you're talking about
kid,
high school, right?
Yeah, for high school. That's what I'm dealing with, yeah. For the kid and for the, you know, the athlete. I mean, for the head coach, not even, you know, because, you know, let's say a head coach is in the midst of the game and he wants his best player back on the field. So right now that has gotten a lot better in high school. You know, that's as long as the kid lets you know how bad the injury is. I mean, some injuries, obviously, you know, you can see when he's done.
Right.
You know, but the fact is that in the lower levels, I mean, I don't really see it, but I also see the same mentality being taught in the lower levels when a kid is hurt, you know.
Right.
To obviously just suck it up mentality, get out there.
Right.
Some kids handle pain better. They're tougher kids than other kids, and they're always going to be the pressure a lot from more the teammates, I think, than the coaches to get on the field and come on, let's go. This is what we do.
Right.
What about on the other end of it where, I don't know if you've seen this, but where, how do you know when kids may say they're injured, but actually they're not injured? In other words, sometimes they'll create excuses. They want to come out of the game from an injury because they're losing or something, or they're tired or whatever. How can you tell, or how do you know, from that perspective, if they're really faking it and
right.
not injured?
Yeah, well, from that point is I think you can watch their body language.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how they're going about the play. You know, if they're going half-heartedly to make the play. A lot of them you could tell it in their eyes when they come off the field if they're really hurt. And, you know, a lot of things like from playing and stuff, you've been hurt in the same area and you could tell how the injury is affecting them. But a lot of times you could actually just see when the kid quits on the team or doesn't want to be out there anymore just by his body language, the way they line up, the way they run after the play, looking to the sideline a lot. That's a major thing in between plays, like looking, like hoping the coach will see and say, oh, you need a blow and get him out of the game. You know, that's one of the big things.
Well, Jim, it sounds like you have a lot of experience, and I really appreciate you joining us.
No, it was great. I love being here.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.